skeleton crew again today. So what's popping, part one, people? We got Mark from Berkeley, Jay Yo. From Plymouth. I'm Drew from Ferndale, and this is the Drew and Mike podcast. Oh, Max and Layla, I forgot.
Oh.
Doggies are down here. They're fired up. Because there's much to discuss. I just got a frightening report from the National Enquirer regarding Hillary Clinton's health. Holy shit, she's in terrible shape. And you will not believe what shows up when she makes another scale-crushing attempt on the scale.
Oh, boy.
Scale-crushing numbers.
Is she going to start digging her grave with a knife and a fork?
Yes. No doubt about it. Also, today is the day Andy Dick alleged he would talk to us. So,
how likely is that to happen?
I'm going to give it a 20% chance.
Oh, that's it?
Well,
I came here for that? No.
Oh, Jay seemed really confident.
Yeah, I talked to you yesterday, Jay. You seemed very positive.
He put on a good show, so he sounded dead nuts like he wanted to. I don't know.
He talked to us a bunch of times at 105. Remember when suddenly every time we called him, he'd pick up?
A handful, yeah.
And then he sort of disappeared, and then it was over. So,
well, like he told Jay, he's like, I don't have anything. I can't do anything. I don't have anything to promote.
He didn't then either. Really, did he? I don't think he did.
I guess not. I don't know. He's got to be doing something. You can just promote what his day is planned for tomorrow.
There are so many things to talk to Andy Dick about. I mean, we've been fans of his for a long time. I mean, have we ever really discussed Division III?
No. No, we never had an official opportunity to talk to him about Division III.
His portrayal of the badass coach. badass coach. By the way, I'm so excited to see 8 days a week, the Ron Howard Beatle movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It sounds really good.
I don't know anything about that.
It's just, if you're going to do something on the Beatles now, you have to focus on one sort of aspect of them, I think, because they've been covered as a whole so many times.
Okay.
And he got interested in their touring years, which are really 62 to 66. They stopped touring because they couldn't hear themselves. And they just, I don't know, George hated it. They didn't like to travel. They didn't like going and playing 40 minutes to a crowd that could barely hear them. It's just stupid. But they did some, particularly before they hit America, they did a lot of great shows in the UK. And what I think is most intriguing about this is it's a lot of footage we've never seen before, like footage.
It's not a movie, it's a documentary.
Yeah, it's a documentary.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think you told me about this then.
Yeah.
Okay. The way you said it, I thought it was going to be a movie. I'm like, who's going to play the guy?
Oh, no, it's them. And, okay. And Paul and Ringo both cooperated.
Really?
Yeah, they do a lot of the narration, and there's so much audio of John and George that there's really no problem getting...
How much Yoko is going to be in this?
I predict none.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she doesn't even know them when they stop touring.
Yeah, but still. I mean, this is Yoko.
I don't think so. I really don't.
If there's footage of John, doesn't she have to clear it? Doesn't she have to participate?
She and Olivia get a vote. I don't know. I'll be surprised and disappointed. I mean, if she's thrown in there for 7 seconds to make her feel better, I'll live with that. But that's about it.
To make her feel better.
And, incredible watching Ron Howard on Good Morning America, and he's talking about the first time he saw the Beatles on Ed Sullivan. I cannot think of a television event that has had more impact on the world than that Ed Sullivan appearance.
Yeah, non-news event, yeah.
It's incredible how many people refer to that and remember it, and it seminally affected them.
And yet nobody refers to the MASH finale.
No.
Honestly, that's like one of the biggest regular episodes of anything ever, and no one ever talks about it.
Well, in my opinion...
Was everyone just bored that night?
Well, it's a little different. It was the end of a comedy show. An episodic show that had run for a number of years. It was really popular. And I'm sure it was a great final episode, but the Beatles on Ed Sullivan changed things. I mean, really, for so many people like Tom Petty, Joe Walsh, there's a long, long list of people who said, I'm going to start a band. I mean, a lot of big stars saw that and said, that's what I'm going to do. And, you know, if I'd been a little older, I think I probably would have done the same thing. But I was only like 5 years old when they were on. I remember it distinctly because I remember my sister screaming.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And my dad saying, their hair is too long. That's about all I remember. But I just remember thinking, this is really cool, whatever the hell it is. And I like the music. You know, in no time, the music was playing all the time. And so I became a fan of the music, of course. But unfortunately, this is the first appearance. Yeah, it is. February 9th, 1964. Not one of their best songs, but it was a big fucking deal at the time, let me tell you. They had the top five songs on the top 40 charts.
Wow.
At one time. I want to say, let's see, I want to hold your hand, She Loves You, Twist and Shout, Can't Buy Me Love, and I saw her standing there maybe? Although that was a B-side. Anyway, it was a... Never has anything quite taken over American culture in one fell swoop like that did. What I hate about this movie, though, is it doesn't include the coolest live Beatle appearance, which is on the roof, the rooftop.
Oh, yeah, because it's before, well before that.
Yeah.
It ends in San Francisco, then I would assume, right?
Yes, San Francisco, okay. August 29th, 1966, the last show. But that January 30th, 1969 appearance is they needed an ending to the movie Let It Be, which was not going terribly well. They were shooting them making the album,
mm-hmm.
and they were not getting along well. There are a couple of pretty brutal rows that are in the film. George and Paul, specifically, arguing about how to play on, let's see, was it? I think it was Let It Be. And George gets really pissed, and I think he tells him he'll play whatever, however he wants him to play, and blah, blah, blah. And there's,
Were the arguments worse than that, or... what was the Metallica one? Some Kind of Monster, that song.
Oh, God.
That... Remember the fights in that documentary?
Oh, yeah. That was bloody. That was brutal.
It's a good documentary, too, though.
Yeah, it was. Definitely. And Let It Be is an okay movie. And for some reason, they've never re-released it. I have no idea why. And I assume that's something still to come. I mean, it's amazing. How can there still be Beatle commerce, yet there is?
Because people like you will buy anything or watch anything.
True. But how do they? How can they even find something to put out? But then again, they haven't put
repackage
that out.
Repackage it.
Yeah, you can always repackage, I suppose. The Love thing was a real... I mean, what a... To take their tracks and intersperse...
Yeah, with Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah, it was crazy. But that show was popular. I think it's still going.
You can put their music with anything. It crosses generations. It crosses...
You could play four songs at once and people would buy it.
Demographics,
wow,
too.
Four Beatles songs at once. Oh, my God. I've never heard this. Hey, four outtakes at once of the same songs. This is even better.
But remember how we were joking? Well, I guess we were joking when Prince died about everything in the vault. And things are usually in a vault because they're not as good as the stuff that's released.
In his case, I don't know how true that is. I think it probably is.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you with the Beatles. When you hear... the stuff that's never been released and gets released, do you like it or do you tend to go, meh?
Well, some of it's kind of fun because there were, when they did the anthology, they did release different versions of the songs.
Yeah.
You know, that were, for example, Strawberry Fields had many, many, many incarnations. And so it was kind of cool to hear the development of that song. And there's some other songs maybe where, I know the differences to the untrained ear wouldn't be that great, but if you're really a fan, you might really like hearing.
Well, I'm a huge fan of Nirvana, but remember that box set they put out with the new single, You Know You're Right, on there?
I do. I bought it.
Most of that stuff is just kind of, to me, I don't know why.
I didn't have the same reaction that I did to the Beatle anthology.
I guess a finished product to me is a finished product for a reason.
Generally very true.
Maybe I'm just that common.
Well, there's just a craziness about the Beatles that I don't think there is about almost anything else. Anyway, Ron Howard is so good, too. You know, I just don't think Ron Howard would take on a project if he couldn't do something with it.
Has he done documentaries before?
I think he has, actually. That's not generally his thing. But the fact that he's such a fan and... And they got a lot of footage. And how bizarre to get footage from fans.
Yeah.
And I think he got stuff from their private collections, too, which is stuff that hasn't been seen. And to think that there's stuff of the Beatles that hasn't been seen is really strange. But there's so many people shot them that I guess he got some footage he was really, really excited about and thought, yes, this can be done. And there is more than enough to create something new and exciting. I think the only concern about it is if they weren't pleased with the shows because there was too much screaming. And, you know, for example, when they played Roanoke, they visited WROV, where I worked a long time ago, an AM station in Roanoke, Virginia.
Woo!
They played that show over the football stadium's PA system.
Oh, God.
And that was not unusual. The Stones did, too. They played there not long after the Beatles. And so, you know, you have to wonder about the audio quality, although I hear they've done whatever can be done to make it sound better. I just don't know that I'm just real curious to hear are these songs going to sound good in this thing? Because if the music doesn't sound good, I would think you would really lose something. But
it sucks.
Must have found enough there that's not completely screamed over, or they're able to somehow work on it. They just didn't think they played that well either because they couldn't hear. But I don't know. I figured this has got to be the main art Royal Oak, right?
The Beatles thing. Yeah. It's going to be on Hulu.
I know it's on Hulu, but it's also got.
Oh, is it
going to
be theater
yeah.
release? Uh-huh. Oh, I don't know.
But I didn't see it on their coming attractions, and I searched on Detroit area. Anybody know?
Speaking of documentaries, have you watched Documentary Now, the Fred Armisen, Bill Hader show that spoofs old documentaries?
No.
Oh my! It's up for an Emmy award, and it's on IFC. It is so fucking funny.
Anything those guys do, I would be interested in.
And Seth Meyers produced it along with those three or those two, but it stars Armisen and Hader, and they mock documentaries. So the first one they did was a mockumentary of Grey Gardens, which was spot on if you've ever seen Grey Gardens from
Absolutely.
The 70s. And the last one they did was a spoof of the Eagles documentary.
Oh, really? Oh, I'd love to see that.
It's two parts. It's really kind of long, but it's so goddamn funny. And they make a band called the Blue Jean Committee, and they're kind of like soft rock songs. It's really, really... And of course, one guy's loaded. I don't know. It's really good. But one of the... Season two starts on Wednesday, and one of the documentaries they're going to spoof is The Kid Stays in the Picture. And I know how much you like that documentary.
Oh, I do. I love that documentary.
Yeah, they're going to spoof that one.
Oh, that's fantastic.
They spoofed The Thin Blue Line, which is another classic documentary that was in season one they did.
Oh, that's a real serious thing to spoof.
Oh, I know, but the way they did it's pretty hilarious.
That sounds pretty funny.
The guy that got killed was like a sign spinner, a guy that stands on the side of the road and spins signs for ads. It's just, it's just ludicrous.
Okay, so... This is a series?
Yeah, Documentary Now, and then season two is starting.
What, is it on Netflix?
IFC.
IFC.
Yeah.
So it's available to any. It's on cable.
Yeah, they've spoofed it.
What season night one. Is it on?
It's going to be Wednesday nights. I'm sure season one's out there, and they spoofed Vice. They did an episode on Vice.
Oh, wow.
Where the reporter keeps getting killed, and so Fred Armisen just plays a new, different reporter that's pretty much the same. They keep sending reporters back in. It's really well done. It's hard to explain, but
the Blue Jean Committee.
Yes,
that's which one is that?
That's the one I believe. That's a spoof on the Eagles documentary.
Oh, Jay's just brought it up. You want to play a little piece of it, Jay?
But the way Hader sings in the band when they realize he's the key, the missing part, is so goddamn funny. DB says you got the high class. Fred wrote all the songs too.
Oh, really?
Yes. Is this one called Catalina Breeze?
Yep.
Yeah, that was their big hit. It's so goofy. A barstool intellectual. A master's degree in small talk.
And going to movies. Catalina Breeze.
I was reading about it. For each documentary, they found like what it was filmed on, what kind of camera, to use the same exact kind so it looked exactly the same way.
Yeah, the shots of them in the limo and stuff are...
It's dead on.
Yeah, it's... It's almost so dead on that you might not even, if you just stumbled on it, you'd go, what is this?
You might think it's a real documentary.
Yeah.
Sounds very Walking in Memphis-esque. The oh, yeah. There.
They're walking through the empty arena together.
So in the documentary, of course, Fred's character writes all the music and the songs.
Uh-huh.
But Bill's character has the publishing rights. So flash forward to the future, Bill's living in Malibu, just a beautiful home, and the other guy's working back at the sausage factory in Chicago. They're all from Chicago. And he has licensed Catalina Breeze for everything.
It almost sounds like it could be a hit record.
Whenever Hader sings as that character, it's a female's voice. There's a really high pitched female's voice for harmonies. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got the really long hair.
It's a really funny show.
I'm not sure. I was trying to catch like which guy is which eagle, sort of.
I'm pretty sure it's the Eagles. Maybe I'm thinking of a different documentary because I've seen that documentary. It looked like it, right?
That looked like it could be the Eagles documentary, definitely.
Yeah.
Especially the extraneous shots of them in the limo and in the empty arena and doing that kind of stuff. I mean, that definitely seems like it's right out of that.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good documentary, generally speaking.
Oh, the Eagle one, the two-parter? Yeah,
it was.
It's a little exhausting. We don't really care for the band that much, but...
Yeah, I would generally agree. It's long. It is exhaustive. And the thing that... and this is just so typical. When it gets to, like, the year 2000,
mm-hmm.
who gives a fuck about the Eagles after the year 2000?
After Hell Unfroze.
Who gives a fuck about the Eagles after 1980? I mean, really?
No.
There's no new music. Can anyone name one Eagles song written after 1980?
No. Mm-mm. No, not at all.
In fact, you're probably struggling around 1980. Heartache Tonight.
Oh, God. I hate
New Kid in Town. I know. How did they get so big? Is there one Eagles song that you just go, oh, God, I just love that song?
I really don't like Hotel California.
I do like that song.
Do you?
I do, yeah, I do. Life in the Fast Lane.
That one's okay.
Victim of Love. That record's, it's a pretty good record, definitely. But is it that good? I don't know. The early songs like Desperado and, to think of hearing them. Or even Lion Eyes, which is a well-written song. I just, when I saw them live, the first three quarters of the show, I thought, Would anyone stand up at a show like this? Because nobody was standing up, and people were just sitting there taking it in, and their harmonies are great, and it sounds like the songs. But, I mean, honestly, it was a sleeper. It was just in my opinion, I know I'm sure there's some Eagles fans that are going, oh, my God. I really was going to sleep until Joe Walsh took over.
Mm.
And they did a couple of the Rocky Mountain Way,
mm-hmm.
and Life's Been Good.
Song. And, another great song.
And his Eagles, more Eagles, Joe Walsh-centric stuff. And then it was great. It was like the last chord of the concert was really good.
Do you hear you've heard the Eminem song that uses Life's Been Good?
Yeah.
Have you heard that?
I don't think I have.
God, it's really, it's so good.
I don't know
good.
Eminem's music that well.
It is so good. Can you play a bit of it, Jay? It's would you think you could turn that into a rap song?
Oh, God, no.
No, but the lyrics to it are phenomenal.
In a house, a king size bed, but I sleep on the couch.
Wait, who's singing this?
I'm Mr. Brightside.
It sounds like Eminem.
Half full, but my tank's half empty, gasket just blew. This always happens. 30 minutes from home, gotta lay a log cabin. Only option I have is McDonald's.
Man, it's just a great in a public store, riff and a beat to use for a rap song.
Someone walks in the giant, I get mad.
Shady, what up?
What? Come on, man, I'm crapping, and you're asking for my goddamn autograph on a napkin? Oh, that's odd, I just happened to run out of tissue. Yeah, hand me that. Second thought, I'd be glad. Thanks, dog. Name's Todd, a big fan. I wipe my ass with it. Crumbled it up in the wine, threw it back in.
told him Todd, you're the shit. Wins all of this crap in. Can't pump my gas without causing an accident. Pump my gas, cut my grass. I can't take out the fucking trash without someone passing through myself harassing. I count my blessings, but I suck it, man. I'd rather wallow than bass, suffer and suck attach. But the antacid is my stomach gas when I mix my corn with my fucking mash. Potato so wet, oh, kiss my country bumpkin ass. Missouri Southern roots, what the fuck is up a glass? All lunch, dinner.
How old is this song?
It gets a lot of airplay now, so it's not giving me that old. Maybe 2 years.
Oh, that's all. Okay.
It references the shows he did at Comerica with Jay-Z.
This is here November 5th, 2013.
Oh, wow. Okay, wow.
Okay.
Cooler than I thought it was.
Wow, no, never heard that. I just can't get over the part where he's actually singing at the beginning. That doesn't sound like him at all.
Well, he's singing a little bit. Don't know what the fuck I'd be doing if it weren't that. Probably be a giant turd sack, but I blew, never turned back. Turn 40 and still sack. Teenagers act more fucking mature, Jack. Fuck you gonna say to me? I leave on my own terms, asshole. I'm going berserk. My nerves are bad, but I love the perks my work has. Did you like, going back to the Eagles, did you like Witchy Woman?
No.
I hate that song.
I don't really like...
I was just looking at all their big hits.
You could name the greatest hits... There's the greatest hits record has sold like 20 million copies, and I swear to God, and this band, I mean, I grew up when this stuff was on the radio. I mean, it was right in my wheelhouse age-wise, the songs you'll never forget. What's it?
29 times platinum?
29 million, okay.
Wow.
I would say probably if there's and it's only 12 songs on it, I probably dislike 10 of them.
It's 1971 to 75. Take It Easy.
I like Take It Easy a lot. I like that song.
Witchy Woman.
Hate it.
Lion Eyes.
Hate it.
Already Gone.
Okay.
Desperado.
Yuck.
One of These Nights.
Not bad.
Tequila Sunrise.
Eh.
Take It to the Limit. Peaceful.
That's Randy Meisner's song. That's his one song.
Peaceful Easy Feeling.
I get a peaceful, easy feeling.
Ugh. Best of My Love.
Best of My Love, I hate.
New York Minute.
That's a Don Henley song.
Yeah, Don Henley, yeah, spun off of it.
I like Don Henley's solo material probably more than I like the Eagles. Mm. Because I like All She Wants to Do Is Dance and Dirty Laundry and...
Oh, I hate those songs.
The one that they won the Grammy for. Dun, 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 dun. Bruce Hornsby plays piano on it. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. Oh, I'm trying to remember. We got Boys of Summer. This is another one of his.
These are all solo tracks. Oh, Boys of Summer is a great song. That's about baseball, I believe. The Heart of the Matter is a great song. What is that one song? It's Bruce Hornsby piano. Dun, dun, dun. Bruce Hornsby does it too.
End of the Innocence.
End of the Innocence. Oh, can you play it, Jay?
Yeah.
You hate this song too, Mark?
No, I know this song. This was turned into a rap song too.
Is it? Are you kidding me?
Uh-uh.
Really?
Uh-uh.
I have an Eminem story, by the way.
That song? Yeah.
Bruce Hornsby has a pretty good version of this. I think he got a co-write on it. You can smell Bruce Hornsby in any song, in my opinion.
Where's the range?
I got the day off.
Standing by, but happily ever after fails, and we've been poisoned by these
it's hard for me to put together the intensity of Don Henley. The guy's so serious and intense about music and about the band and all that, and about life too, you know, Walden Woods and all that bullshit. And I'll never forget him interrupting a show to go on for quite a pretty lengthy rap about Walden Woods and about how you could
snooze. Pick up,
yeah, big snooze. And first the audience is clapping like, oh yeah, we're cool with you, Don. And then as you got about 3 or 4 minutes into it, people started yelling like, play a song! Oh. Who gives a fuck?
Oh man, Don.
It got kind of ugly, and he even responded to a little bit of it. But, you know, this really intense guy, and then you pick up a book like You'll Never Eat Lunch in This Town Again.
Yeah.
Which was written by, well, there's a couple versions. One is by the chick that helped produce a bunch of big movies, and she just spilled everything on everyone. And that book's hard to find. Actually, it was taken out of print pretty quickly. But there's another one. Julie Phillips. Yeah. There's another one like You'll Never Do Something in This Town Again. It's written by
Eat Lunch,
is it? The three prostitutes that wrote it?
Oh, Make Love.
You'll Never Make Love in This Town Again.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they tell stories about Don Henley and what a whoremonger he was. Oh, yeah. Big time.
Wow, you would think a guy like that wouldn't be.
No, of course not.
I was just looking up on Amazon The End of the Innocents. One star. If you want to encounter a textbook example of the Hollywood left and all its absurd contradictions and vanity, go no further than this album. Why is somebody reviewing this album?
A 30-year-old album.
On the one hand, Henley rails against corporate greed, Reagan, and America's sin, while on the other, he strikes a careful fashion pose on the record jacket, cigarette in hand. Oh, because he's smoking, so big tobacco.
Oh, please.
The entire record preens and struts this multimillionaire's moral superiority without a shred of irony concerning exactly who it is he's lecturing to. Wow.
The one story about Don Henley from that book was, I think, from an ex-girlfriend who said he had he laid this rap on her about, oh, I got this big surprise for you, and you're going to love it. And she's, you know, oh, my God, what could it be? I don't know what she thought she was getting. Celebrity net worth, by the way, $200 million. Not bad.
Wow.
Although I would think it'd be higher, honestly, with all the Eagles tours and stuff. Anyway, they get back to the mansion, and they enter the mansion, and what's awaiting them? Five prostitutes.
Oh, right.
That was the big surprise.
What a great surprise. Can't say she wasn't surprised.
She was. Oh, Donnie.
Wow.
Did anyone ever call him Donnie?
No, he's too intense.
That would anger him.
Buying prostitutes. You three buying prostitutes.
In 92, when Glenn and Joe were touring together, Clint Sly was our general manager at Riff at that time, and I don't know how he got this tip. Like, maybe he'd heard from somewhere else along the tour that someone else had done this. Clint got them a private jet to fly them in so they wouldn't have to take their bus from the show they did the night before. They were playing Pine Knob here. And for flying them in, they agreed to come on the show, on the morning show, for an hour. And they ended up staying 2 hours. Joe was bummed.
I remember that. Well, I remember hearing the audio.
Yeah, and Glenn was a little drunk too. Glenn's can be a lot of fun when he's a little loopy. He was pretty intense. Nice guy though. He was really nice to us. But when we were in commercials, I just remember they were railing about Don Henley and how much fun they were having because he wasn't around.
Wow.
And so I was asking Joe, since he was being a little forthcoming, not on the air, but what's so hard about working with Don Henley? And he said, Don doesn't want to just argue about the guitar and the drums and what's going on during the song. He wants to argue what's going on in the silence between the beats or between the chords, like the empty space. And I don't know what he was referring to, but I think he was just joking.
But he wants to just bitch and argue about everything.
He wanted to, I mean, the most minuscule things about the production. He was just very, very difficult.
Wow.
Not that Glenn was an easy guy. You know, from everything I've read, the one guitar player, the guy that left the band after a fight with Glenn, I mean, he didn't have many good things to say about Glenn.
Sounds like Don should be in a basket of deplorables.
Oh, he wouldn't fit in the basket of deplorables. I'm sure he's right behind Hillary Clinton.
I was thinking about that story again today. Such a stupid phrase.
I know. What is a basket of deplorables?
What is that? I mean, how tangible? I mean, has anybody ever used the word deplorables as like
I don't think
multiple
so.
Things? No.
I don't think so. But now that I'm reading so much about her health, I got to tell you.
Using a body double?
Yeah, using a body double. You know, I thought it was really funny that after she could not, you know, she couldn't make the walk from this event to the car. They had to help her. And then instead of going to the hospital, which anyone would do, she goes to Chelsea's apartment.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what a bummer that was for Chelsea?
I am.
Oh, shit.
Imagine her having to hide her weed.
And whatever else.
Somebody's mom coming over all the crap. Yeah, she has to put her dildos away.
And all the Secret Service. And oh, what a pain. Oh, mom, really? Go to the hospital.
Well, they do, but they do that so they can say she's never been hospitalized.
Yeah, she didn't have to be hospitalized.
Well, no shit. The hospital comes to you. You're a presidential candidate.
Yeah, so they have to probably bring all these IVs and crap to Chelsea's place.
Oh, man, I feel bad for her husband, Mark.
Oh, Chelsea's?
He's probably chilling out watching football on a Sunday.
Isn't already hard enough for this guy?
So, you know, mother-in-law running for president has to stop by. Ugh.
I'm starting to think there's somebody of these guys helping her up these stairs. Remember that picture?
Yeah. Drew, 100%. And honestly, I think the worst video from Sunday was her leaving the apartment, not her stumbling into a van.
Oh, yeah. Feeling great. Feeling great. And then she takes a picture with that little kid.
Yeah, what a plant little kid was.
She shakes that kid's hand. She got pneumonia. The
kid's probably
contagious.
Dead
contagious. The kid's got pneumonia now.
Not all pneumonia is contagious.
Of course, that's what they said.
Yeah.
They said, oh, no, this is not a contagious pneumonia. She didn't even have pneumonia. That's bullshit. She's just
Well, pneumonia is a pretty all-encompassing kind of illness, right? It's like saying a person has a cold, right? I mean, there's different types of pneumonia.
Of course.
It's just a chest cold or a chest infection.
But she collapsed. I mean, she could not make it from this event to the car.
And they talk about how hot it was out. I didn't see anybody else collapsing.
No.
And she didn't see anybody else wearing shades.
Can you imagine how cranky this bitch would be overheated?
Oh, boy.
Oh. Oh, get me away from her.
Oh.
Well, here's the Inquirer's take on things. I got to tell you, things are not looking good for Hillary Clinton.
This is going to be a major storyline until the election.
Oh, yeah. This isn't going away. Wait till people get a hold of this. Desperate Hillary Clinton is infected with a crippling killer virus, suffers from alcoholism, has been devastated.
Alcoholism?
Has been devastated by three strokes and is battling severe mental disorders. An exhaustive investigation by the National Enquirer reveals.
Wow. Hillary's
been covering up her illnesses from the public for years, declared a political insider. She doesn't want anything to come in the way of her ambition, not even the truth about her health. But in this blockbuster world exclusive, the Inquirer exposes the alarming truth about the Democratic presidential candidate's medical issues, including she suffers from debilitating congenital disease, muscular dystrophy, as well as crippling multiple sclerosis. She's got MD and MS.
If she had MS, I think we would have seen more signs than that, right?
I don't know. This chick's pretty determined. She's plagued by severe memory lapses, which are either a result of a concussion she suffered in 2012 or Alzheimer's.
Whoa.
Brain damage related to her concussion is so severe, a member of her Secret Service detail may actually be the doctor who carries an anti-seizure device to inject her at a moment's notice.
I've
seen
that
black guy that came up to the stage,
yeah,
remember?
That's right, yes.
And all the Secret Service people said, hey, that's really odd for a Secret Service guy to just come up to the stage like that. Look how close he is to her. It's because he was shooting her. He gave her a shot.
They're constantly shooting her up.
Her health is...
Kill me in!
Her health is so rapidly deteriorating she needs help standing and can't hide her infirmities from the cameras any longer. Hillary is crippled with devastating psychiatric disorders that result in violent rages, which are exposed in her bizarre handwriting.
She's been suffering from that since she was a kid.
She suffered the concussion when she fell in... she fainted and fell in her house in 2012. Doctors later identified the blood clot in her brain as the near-fatal culprit. While Hillary's campaign declared that she'd made a complete recovery, a cutting-edge Deceptech voice stress analysis machine used by more than 50 U.S. law enforcement agencies reveals her denials of her poor health are lies!
Wow.
In another shocker, two new photos show a frail Hillary being helped up a flight of stairs and barely able to walk at a campaign rally. She appears unstable in these photos. A very disturbing sign, said Dr. Stuart Fisher, who has not treated
Hillary. Whoa. They couldn't get a hold of Dr. Merkin like we couldn't?
No. Her poor balance is also consistent with multiple sclerosis, an autoimmune disease affecting the brain, spine, and other areas of the body. Now, Hillary's balance could also be due to muscular dystrophy, which causes progressive weakness and loss of muscle mass.
She lied to my face.
Or she could just be an old lady. I mean, she's 68.
That sounds pretty serious to me.
She believes she's entitled to the office.
Well, so serious that I forget where I saw the report, but leading Democrats are getting together to find a replacement.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's about time. Let's see what else. There's a couple things I got to do. The scale crushing part. A Secret Service expert called such a... Oh. Troubling allegations have also emerged concerning the identity of a Secret Service agent assigned to Hillary's personal detail and his bizarre actions during a recent stop. A video analyzed by the Inquirer shows Hillary freezing in mid-speech. Then a man in a black suit rushes to her aid, holding what some sources describe as an anti-seizure device. Secret Service expert called such behavior extremely odd, while other sources say this man is actually Hillary's personal physician set to intervene in an emergency.
Well, it worked.
Yeah. She continued the speech. She's going to do what she wants to do, and she harbors anger. Susan Constantine, president of Silent Messages, told the Inquirer. What's more, Hillary's...
What is that?
I have no idea what Silent Messages is. Hillary's drinking has become so serious she confessed to daughter Chelsea that she's an alcoholic, sources said. Medical experts note alcoholism can lead to liver damage.
Nice that Chelsea ratted her out.
I know, Hillary.
She confines, Hillary, your mom confines in you and you go run and tell the media.
Chelsea needs 10 grand so bad she has to go to the Inquirer and tell them that Hillary confessed to being an alcoholic.
Well, that's what you get if she's going to show up to your apartment on a Sunday afternoon unannounced with the Secret Service.
That's probably
this
the
fact
only way
alone
to,
disqualifies her.
Probably the only way to get her to stop doing that.
Mom!
Hillary also has ballooned to approximately 289 pounds.
Whoa. Well, that frame can't handle that.
Her weight gain puts her at risk from higher cholesterol or heart disease or a stroke. 289? What's the first lady weigh? Was it two?
I can't remember. We just first lady's a lot taller, though, right? First lady's pretty tall.
Yeah, she is. But it seems to me she was, wasn't she?
She's like 270, wasn't she? 260?
Was it that high? I think it was more like two bills, but...
No, it was because it's more than I weigh. I remember that much.
How are they squeezing all that weight into... I mean, she must be wearing Spanx times... I mean, Spanx squared.
Hillary?
Yeah, can you imagine the crushing it must
can
be?
Can you imagine what those Spanx smell like at the end of the day?
Ugh. Ugh. Okay, here's the...
All sweaty. And
Michelle Obama.
Crusty.
257.
Ugh, the presidential...
257?
The presidential wow. Spanx.
Holy shit, 257 and 289. Okay. These chicks are big.
Heavyweights.
Man, oh man. Good news, though, Larry and Sean King.
Yeah.
Are putting it back together.
Oh, that's so lovely.
They both have gone to great lengths to try to be more attractive for the other. Larry has dyed his hair black.
Oh, okay. That's going to be a great look, Larry.
It's going to make a big difference.
Everybody's going to think that's natural. Why don't you just put shoe polish on it like Jim Jones?
Did you hear he was wiped out by the Louisiana floods?
Who?
John Schneider from
Yes, I did know that, yeah.
And people are pissed.
Why?
Supporters have started this fundraiser to help him rebuild his studio and his home.
Yeah.
They've raised $180,000.
They're mad because they're not helping them?
Yeah, they're mad because this guy's a millionaire.
John Schneider is not a millionaire, is he?
He earns $1 million a year, supposedly.
Really?
Yeah.
What else is he doing? What's he doing with that studio?
I don't know. Well, I think he makes music.
Really?
Isn't he a musician of some note?
He'll always be one of the Duke boys to me.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, when you know people in high places like those Duke boys.
Oh, yeah.
Calling favors. Although they wouldn't be able to help them out. Boss Hogg would never have helped him.
He pays his estranged wife. They've been split up for not too long. He pays her $31,000 a month, so he's got to have some dough.
Hmm.
$4 million.
$4 million?
Yeah, celebrity net worth says $4 million.
What's the celebrity net worth of Roscoe P. Coltrane? I always loved him. That was my favorite show when I was a kid. How ridiculous is that?
I'm shocked.
The Dukes of Hazzard.
I'm really surprised you would like that show.
Oh,
was it the car?
Badass. The Rebellion. Oh, yeah, of course it was the car. The General Lee.
Tom Wopat, net worth $2 million.
Really? Wopat's? Wow.
Yeah.
Well, they're doing pretty good. What about Daisy Duke, who's who's probably pushing Hillary weight by now, right?
Yeah, she's got to be at some scale crushing level.
She probably weighs more than Boss Hogg.
Speaking of scale crushing.
Oh, shit. She's at 6 million.
Wow.
What? Yeah. What's her real name?
More than both of them.
Catherine Bach.
Catherine Bach. That's right.
Wait till you see this picture of Jenny Garth. She has packed on the
pump. Oh, man.
Oh, my God. And the
after her divorce?
Possibly, yeah, she got divorced. That's right. Massive 90210 star Jenny Garth was recently spotted coming out of an L.A. Macy's, either shopping or auditioning to be a Thanksgiving parade float. Oh, my God.
You really have to audition for that?
That is terrible.
Oh, boy. Oh, man.
Yeah, that's grim.
Oh, she used to be so cute,
I know.
Too.
It's really not cool. Not cool at all.
Oh, I get it, because she was leaving a Macy's. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Just now putting it together, rereading it.
The writers, the brilliant Inquirer writers, of course.
They really are sharp.
They're pretty good.
Oh, man. Why would she wear that outfit, though?
I don't know what she can wear that would hide that kind of weight gain.
Well, you don't wear this, though. I mean, her gut's bigger than her boobs.
Yeah, she's... And the short hair, that doesn't help, does it?
No, but that, you know.
It kind of distracts you, though. Goes, oh, your hair is so short. I almost didn't notice you gained 100 pounds.
Ugh, poor girl. Goo.
Britney Spears
At least she'll get that gig as a Macy's parade balloon. So stupid.
The Inquirer claims that Britney Spears has actually approached the NFL. She wants the Super Bowl halftime.
She's already done it.
She did it when Aerosmith was on. Yeah. She and Justin were part of that, which I thought was really dumb at the time.
Did you know she openly kissed Madonna?
She wants it all to herself.
Wasn't that the first year it really pushed it into, like, when MTV took it over?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there were a lot of extraneous people. I thought it was going to be just Aerosmith. And it's like, what the hell are these people doing in this? I remember thinking
the NFL cannot use her.
No, that's the point that they're making the story, is that the NFL would have no interest in her whatsoever.
Who can they use? Who's, like, world-renowned?
That they haven't used yet for halftime?
I think the perfect one would be Green Day, especially with the new album coming out.
Oh, yeah, they've never done it, have they?
They've been around for a long time.
Yeah, they always want people
who are 25, 54 men.
They want people long established, and they would definitely fall in that range, I would think.
They actually said Super Bowl in that? Not the big game, like you were talking
about? Oh, no, it did not say the big game.
Yeah, they're not making any commerce off of it.
Yeah, they definitely
it's a report.
Super Bowl halftime, yes. No
who
big
else,
game
who
here.
Else could do it? I mean, who else is big right now?
I don't know. You know, it's weird.
Rihanna?
Because, yeah, Rihanna probably could be.
Beyonce's already done it, of course.
Yeah, she just did it.
Insulting everybody by doing it.
God, there's a brutal story about Don McLean.
Oh, really? American Pie?
American Pie. I know. You can't think of Don McLean without thinking of American Pie.
And his thumb.
His thumb?
Yeah, from the album cover. Didn't
oh, he? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes. American flag printed on it?
Of course. Rock legend Don McLean is a brutal tyrant who terrorized his kids, starved the family pets, and battered his ex-wife so badly she still suffers post-traumatic stress disorder.
Wow. The American Pie guy?
Yeah. Hmm. He's the shocking charges Patricia McLean leveled against the 70-year-old in explosive divorce documents. He just got a DUI, didn't he?
I don't know.
In some kind of trouble recently? National Enquirer that revealed her 30-year nightmare at the hands of American Pie singer Don McLean. Don manhandled me so much I cannot tell you specifically the first time it happened. When he got mad, angry enough to manhandle me at least once a month, I would say. She filed for divorce March 10th, citing adultery, cruel and abusive treatment, and irreconcilable differences. Split was official in June. She describes raising the couple's two now-grown children in a house of horrors where Don was arrested in January.
Don McLean, house of horrors.
I know. For domestic violence, routinely belittled her. She claims he called her the C-word.
Don.
And anti-Semitic slurs like heeb and kike.
What?
You can't call your wife anti-Semitic terms,
no.
Don. Or anyone. Along with constant use of the term stupid, idiot, and moron. Oh, God.
Did he have another hit other than
Vincent.
American Pie?
Vincent. Yeah.
What is that? Vincent, we are brothers.
Be as beautiful as you. It's about Vincent Van Gogh.
Is it really?
Yeah. Can you crank up Vincent? It's maybe the most boring song ever written or performed. I'm telling you, it is the slowest, most horrific song, and it was kind of a hit. I don't know how.
Maybe we can hear it for the Super Bowl.
What? Oh,
starry, starry night.
Oh, I know this song. Yeah, absolutely.
That's it.
Paint your palette blue and gray.
You want? I used to sing this to Julie the driver nuts when we went to the Van Gogh Museum.
With eyes that know the
starry night. That's the only part of the song I knew, though.
Starry, starry night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny. I had no idea the song was actually about Vincent Van Gogh.
And the daffodils.
Oh my God, I'm gonna fall asleep.
No, out of American Pie? I mean, come on, Don. Celebrity net worth $6 million. American Pie's gotta be all of that.
Well, yeah. Remember Madonna covered it? That was great.
Oh, God, was that bad. Hey, did you hear about the new participant in the not standing for the national anthem crusade?
Chris Brown?
Yes, Chris Brown. Yeah. At a charity basketball game.
What a dick.
Not only was he not standing, he was laughing and cutting up with his buddies while he sat down.
Now, see, oh.
He's such an asshole.
Well, he's only doing that for himself. It's not because of some bigger stand or some.
I'm sure he's been treated so poorly.
Movement. Oh, God, what an asshole.
I hated that whole standoff thing. God, was he a jackass. And
yeah.
You know, I don't know what the girl did, but the fact that she, I mean, why wasn't he pissing
matter.
And moaning about her instead of the cops?
Thank you. It doesn't matter what she did. The cops are there to do their job. Sorry. Sorry if it was false. Same with Lil Wayne, who's pissed off about all the swatters. You know what swatting is?
Yeah, well, which is so stupid. I can't believe that people
atrocious.
Think that's funny.
No, it's awful, but he can't be mad at the police. I don't think Lil Wayne really is mad at the police as he is just the swatters in general. But they are just doing their job. I mean, they got to take everything serious.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, God, Chris Brown.
I know, I'm so sick of him. Can we just put that guy away in jail and just forget about his ass? How many times did he violate his probation?
Oh, numerous times.
We talked about it. I mean, there's like six fights he got into, and that was, you know, I would think the first thing they'd put him away for.
You saw the newest person to come out against Colin Kaepernick and the NFL protesters in general?
No.
Kate Upton.
Kate Upton?
Yeah, it's kind of
what?
It's kind of reached a point of ridiculousness now.
Kate Upton?
Yeah, she was tweeting and Instagramming about how you better stand for the anthem on 9/11.
Well, 9/11, I think it was a bad day to I thought people should have stood on 9/11. That would have been a bad idea, but
well, it's whatever.
I think people would have probably said that's cool that you did that instead of, oh, that's bullshit. You're not true to your protest.
Yeah, and is 9 whatever.
You know, I never
it's
knew.
It's a pretty respectful protest as far as it went, though. I liked what Arian Foster said in his comments because he's one of the guys that kneeled.
What did he say?
Let me find his quotes. I thought it was pretty well thought out.
I want the national anthem, by the way. I want it changed right now because the whole Francis Scott Key being a slaveholder deal.
Well, he's a racist, too. I mean, he's made some pretty bad remarks.
So rather than go through this in 5 years when it comes back up, why don't we just do it now and fix it all?
What? Just make a new anthem?
Make a new anthem.
Like, was someone that tweeted that they should use Kid Rock's Born Free as the national anthem because you can't not sit down to that song. Why don't we use Don McLean's American Pie every minute of it?
Anything but Francis Scott Key because he's had slaves. I mean, it's never going to change. It's going to come back up again. You know it's going to come back up again.
So did a lot of the people that signed the Constitution.
Well, that's why I don't understand this endless, that these people involved in the Constitution were the greatest Americans of all time, and what they came up with can never be altered.
I know. Something
must be adhered to forever.
Something that was written that long ago.
Yeah, I mean, I think the fact that it's so old makes it extremely vulnerable to start with.
It's so hard to change. Every other country's Constitution can at least be amended a lot easier.
But I think the Francis Scott Key thing, isn't that going to just keep coming up? The fact that he held slaves?
Sure.
So, I mean, it seems to me people are going to be able to say, well, I'll never feel any sense of equality or I will always feel oppression as long as this is the national anthem, a song that was written by someone who held slaves. So let's change it now.
People will always say
so we
can
get past it now instead of having to hear about it later.
But once again, is it the is it who wrote the song or is it the words in the song? Is it what the song stands for, or the poem stands for, or is it the person that wrote the poem? I think that's a fair argument.
It's the person. It doesn't matter what the song says. Even if it's the best written song ever, we're always going to come back to the fact that he held slaves.
Well, can't bad people write good songs? I mean, there's a lot of people that like Chris Brown songs, and he's not really a good person.
Yeah, but Chris Brown can't have the national anthem.
No, but what I'm saying is bad people can do good art. Or,
sure they can.
Or do good, meaningful work.
But don't you think it's going to just continue to come up? It's going to, people are going to feel oppressed by the fact that our national anthem was written by a slaveholder. So why not just get it over with now?
They're going to feel, if they're going to feel oppressed by that, they'll probably feel oppressed by other things as well.
But it seems like you're building in oppression. You're
I
more
think it's
or less
the least oppressive thing they feel oppressed by.
I don't know. Charles Woodson brought it up.
Did he?
Yeah. On the pregame show yesterday.
That's that wonderful education of his.
Yes. Oh, yes. Which, did he, no, did he actually graduate?
No, isn't that the big knock on retiring number two?
Oh, that's
some,
right.
Some people say because he is yet to graduate. Regardless of the fact that he's donated millions upon millions of dollars to Mott's Children's Hospital.
By the way, the pregame show on ESPN.
Yeah.
I cannot believe Randy Moss is on that
show. He is?
Yes.
Who else is on there? Because I knew they got rid of...
Woodson's on there. Woodson and Randy Moss.
Is, who's the murderer? The linebacker? I'm drawing a blank.
Ray Lewis.
Is he still doing stuff with ESPN?
I don't think I saw him
good.
On there. In fact, I'm not sure if I... Was I watching... Yeah, I think it was the ESPN show. And,
is
of course...
Keyshawn's not on there then, is he?
No,
if
I don't think he was on there.
I liked Keyshawn's all right.
But wait, Randy Moss... I'm sorry. He would never talk to the media.
I know.
He hated the media, and now he doesn't have a job, and so he wants to be part of the media.
Mm-hmm.
Get the fuck out of here.
I know.
Not to mention he's a complete asshole anyway.
He's kind of a jerk. Yep.
Beyond kind of a jerk, he's a massive jerk.
Yep.
And guess whether he supported the national anthem.
Of course he supported it.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
And he went on and on and on. I was like, okay, just say yes. Let's move on.
Did anybody on that panel not support it?
Dilfer was kind of...
Dilfer. Yeah, but you know Dilfer's connection to the 49ers, right? Him and Balky are boys.
I wondered if they didn't say, okay, who can be four standing like before they did the show?
No, because Dilfer's kind of been out and about against it anyways, because like I said... You know the talk in San Francisco is Balky doesn't want Kaepernick on the team, but Chip Kelly and Jed York say, no, you're keeping him on that team. We want him. So the GM does not want him, doesn't like him, thinks he's a dick, who one of his best friends is Trent Dilfer. So I'm not surprised Dilfer went to bat for Balky in a sense by
kind of
knocking him.
Moore wasn't made of the socks with the cop and the pigs in cop outfits. That was bullshit. What an asshole.
Well, he did address it. Did you not accept his explanation?
Not really, no. Okay. I mean, who wears...
I'm a cop, you idiot!
When you wear something with pigs and cop suits, I mean, that's pretty obvious, pretty clear disrespect of police, I would say. And what's the mitigating factor?
Well, he clearly doesn't like police. He
oh.
clearly has a problem and feels oppressed by them, which is kind of the point of his protest.
I'm not sure why connecting this.
But like he said, is that he wore those, you know, weeks before he really got serious about this protest.
But the fact that he wore them at all, I don't really care when he wore them.
Well, does it matter if he wore that or if he's been putting out the memes on instant or on social media that he's been putting out? I mean, how is it any different?
What do you mean?
He's always put out, you know, socially conscious type memes on Instagram or on Facebook.
Yeah, but he's wearing socks with cops, pigs, and cop outfits. That is such a brutal disrespect of law enforcement. I mean, that's how nastier can you get than to suggest cops are pigs? I mean, that's about as low a blow as you could make. I mean,
I'm not a policeman, so I wasn't terribly offended about it, you know, by it.
Maybe cops aren't that offended by it. I would think they would be. I mean, if cops aren't offended, then I will.
I think calling them murderers and acting like they're murdering everybody is way more offensive than just, you know, the stereotypical joke about a cop, you know, eating a donut or a cop being a pig.
Well, I don't think cops eating donuts is, I think it's more of a joke than anything. Of course, cops eat donuts.
You know where that came from, by the way?
What?
Why the cop donut connection is so strong?
No.
Because those used to be the only places that were open late that you could grab a quick bite at. Isn't that fascinating? So cops working the beat late at night or early in the morning, it was the only place they could eat really
fast.
That
makes sense.
Yeah. So you would always see policemen at donut shops.
As far as the other thing, though, fascinating. About, you know, the fact that there are dead people in the streets, all, you know, as if there's just scraping people off the streets of America every day who are killed by cops unnecessarily, you know, I think that's a little bit overblown. But I, you know, again, connecting that to the national anthem doesn't really make sense.
But don't you think the problem really goes back to the two shootings back to back, the Alton Sterling, the Philando Castile shootings back to back, and nobody came out to condemn those police to say, yeah, those are pretty poor shootings.
Oh, lots of people condemned them.
Police officers?
Yeah, I think there were people that I didn't weren't there.
I thought there were many
people who had problems with that.
Okay. I feel like you didn't find many police coming out against those shootings.
The one in
to say that, yeah, there's some questions there.
The one with the girl took the video?
Yeah.
Who supported that?
Well, I didn't hear anybody come out against them, though. As to say, yeah, that maybe not might not be a justified shooting. In other words, we know there's some bad police officers, right? Now,
of course there are. There's bad surgeons. There's bad pilots.
Exactly. I think the majority of people understand that there's bad people in any realm of life. But you would come out and say, yeah, that's a bad radio person. That person's not good. That
I've heard people say that. Tons of people have said that. Haven't they?
I don't know. I feel like you haven't heard that enough from
I haven't heard
maybe
as far
police
as
chiefs or, you know, you heard the governor of Minnesota come out and say that the shooting was a little weird. But I feel like you don't hear it maybe enough.
Part of the problem is that neither of those cases have been adjudicated, though. So maybe in that specific region, it might be hard for somebody to say something. But I thought there had been, I mean, who support? Did anyone really support the one, especially with the videotape? I don't remember anyone saying it was proper for that guy to be shot.
No, but I think maybe it'd be better for them to come out and say, yeah, there's a lot of questions about that shooting. To kind of condemn it.
But, I mean, would you sit for the national anthem over two incidents you didn't agree with?
Would I? No. No. Would somebody who feels differently? Of course. I think it's a lot more than that for people like Kaepernick or Brandon Marshall or Arian Foster or Martellus Bennett. I think their life experiences are vastly different from mine, positive and negative.
In the course of, Colin Kaepernick, it's hard for me to believe a guy that's been a star quarterback for the last, 15 years of his life. I find it hard to believe that guy has been so badly oppressed. I really do. I would imagine he's probably been recruited to some degree.
He was not that heavily recruited out of high school.
But he was a star quarterback.
He was not recruited, hardly at all. It wasn't until a guy saw him on another video watching a different player on his team.
But he was the quarterback of his high school football team.
Yeah.
I mean, aren't most quarterbacks, don't they have their ass kissed pretty much? And it wasn't like he lived in a bad area either. Aren't his parents pretty successful?
I don't know the demographics of that. I wasn't in Northern California. I don't know. Drew, I don't know. I mean, he feels like he was.
Well, he specified an incident at
Nevada.
Nevada,
yeah,
which was one thing, and I don't know.
I thought it was interesting when Brandon Marshall took a knee on Thursday that Al Michaels didn't mention that they were college teammates. Did he not know that?
Maybe not.
But it's not that hard to figure out. I mean, he went to Nevada. He's about the same age.
Well, was he criticizing him, was he?
No, I mean, it was mostly pointing it out, but I think that's pretty important. That's a pretty important fact that he was a college teammate of Colin Kaepernick. That I would think that would make you more likely to support his movement than to not support it.
Well, especially if they were close.
Did any Lions kneel?
No, I don't think so.
You know, they did some really good stuff. I got to find that story for 9/11. The Lions did. Did you see that story?
No, I didn't.
Let me find it because I want to quote it correctly. But basically, they were giving back. And, you know, they wore those gloves. Did you see the gloves they wore?
Was some reference to 9/11?
Yeah.
I did not. I didn't even notice it.
One was black and one was the flag.
And are they going to be fined for that?
I'm sure the NFL will. Here's the glove story. The Lions went away from their traditional gloves to wear something different. They wanted to commemorate the anniversary. So instead of their typical gloves, they wore gloves sent by Under Armour, special for Sunday's game. The outside of the gloves had one glove in black and one in red, and the inside portion of the gloves were red, white, and blue pattern of the stars and stripes, similar to the flag. At the bottom says 9/11. We will never forget. At least three Lions players. You want to guess who they are?
Three Lions players.
Yeah, were spotted wearing the gloves in the win.
Let's see. Would they be more likely to be receivers and running backs?
No, they're. That's what's funny about it. They're all linemen.
Oh wow, I have no idea.
I take it back. One's a corner. Nevin Lawson is the cornerback that wore one. Okay. But Nada, Haloti Nada, and Devin Taylor.
Cool.
So I mean, that's kind of.
If the NFL gets down on these people for saluting 9/11, they are so stupid. I mean, and we talked about it yesterday, and I'm sure they probably will.
Well, Nada held the flag, you know, the big giant American flag, along with Ziggy Ansah, Kyrie Thornton, Matt Prater, Trayvon Wilson, and Kyle Van Noy. But that's not going to get the press. That's not going to get the national press that, say, kneeling during the national anthem will.
No.
But if you were to ask people about the NFL and protesting, the kneelers is what's going to come to mind, not the good people. Good people. I shouldn't say it like that. Not the other people that will choose to hold the flag and commemorate, you know, 9/11.
Oh, no, it'll be dwarfed for sure. We're wrapping up part one here. We got to give Andy Dick a try coming up in part two, not to mention a number of other things. I wanted to mention Eminem when you were talking about him before. He comes up in that Stars, Cars, and Crystal Meth book.
He does?
By Jack Southern. Yeah, because when he was running a limousine business at one time.
Uh-huh.
That's what the Cars comes in. And he was even driving at one point. But he was mostly doing limousines for Stars kind of thing. And he was also renting some other cars. And they had one beat-to-shit Toyota they used to rent out. And it was like a Toyota Corolla, and it was just to have one cheap car.
Yeah.
They had it. And Eminem used to rent their Toyota regularly.
What year?
This
was
like
he Eminem then, or was he
before
Marshall?
It was Marshall Mathers.
Really?
Yes. He would come out to Los Angeles for, you know, maybe meet with record companies or try to push his music.
Yeah.
And he would rent their piece of shit car from them.
Oh, what a cool story.
Yeah. He mentioned a couple other things about it. I wonder if I can find that. Yeah, I've got it upstairs. Let me see if I can find that sequence for part two. It was brief, but it was funny. And, so Andy Dick and other items for part two, including I want to get back into Linda Thompson's book about Elvis and Bruce Jenner, because I read the Bruce Jenner portion last night, which was quite interesting. To be married to two people, I mean, it's about time this chick wrote a book. My God, what was she waiting for? Although she was with her third husband was...
David Foster?
David Foster.
Yeah, because they had that reality show, right?
Yeah, The Princes of Malibu, which was a dumb show.
It only ran like a handful of times, right? But that introduced the world to Brody Jenner.
She was livid about that show, too.
Oh,
because
really?
That show was supposed to be about her sons and Spencer Pratt... And their efforts to find, I think, to get a record deal or something, or do something. And it was recast completely. And I think David Foster got involved in it as this
spoiled brat.
Spoiled brat, you know, who tried to take advantage of David Foster all the time.
Dave! Well, why did they go with that? They could have been as big as the Kardashians.
Because he got a producer who thought this was a better line of, you know, in terms of having successful... reality show, even though the show had nothing to do with reality, and they literally scripted the shows.
They're all scripted like that.
The Kardashian show is much more scripted than I ever thought it was.
They only film for like 3 hours a day. They never start filming before noon.
I cannot believe that show is that popular, and I also didn't realize it was so completely fake.
Everything about them is completely fake.
she talks about Brody becoming part of that show. And, of course, you know, they approach him with storylines. It's not like, hey, can you go hang out with them? And they're shooting today. It's like, well, they want to do a storyline where, you know.
Yeah. And how relatable are those storylines anymore? Going on a ridiculously fantastic vacation or going to a club or.
Brody's were completely stupid. They were completely contrived. And I know the show doesn't get nearly the viewership it used to get, but I guess since Kanye West got involved, or since she married Kanye West and had a kid, it's sort of picked it back up. But I think they'd do that forever.
I would think so. Why wouldn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they can make $10,000 a tweet or whatever. What in the world would that chick do? What would Kim Kardashian do if she didn't have that show? What would she possibly do for commerce?
Nobody cares.
More sex tapes.
Yeah, I guess so. She'd do a new sex tape. She'd go into porn.
She would have just married someone rich and older.
Isn't it a laugh thinking back to her marrying Chris Humphrey?
Oh, yeah. Joke. Yeah, or the guy before him.
Who's the guy before him?
Some nobody that, you know.
Remember that
episode? Which, once again, how real was it? But Chris Humphries didn't know she was married before. And someone in the family made reference to her previous marriage.
And he's all pissed, which who wouldn't be pissed?
Yeah.
But
once again, that's something he could have Googled.
Yeah. What a joke, though. Chris Humphrey. And then to think they married. How quick did they get divorced? A month or 2 months?
Pretty fast, yeah.
And the wedding is on television? What a joke. And then the next wedding's on television, too, and people watch it?
Yep.
Good God. All right. Damon Thomas?
Yeah.
Okay, for 4 years.
Wow. She was super young then, too.
And what do you know? He's black. Hmm. Wow. And what the fuck? Okay. The son is with a black chick, too?
Yeah.
Can someone
that show
explain
premiered
that,
on Sunday, by the way.
How bad was that?
Ob in China.
Yeah.
Pretty bad.
Did you watch it?
Julie had it on, and I go, "What? Why are you watching this?" She goes, "I wanted to see how bad it is." I go, "Well," and she goes, "It's pretty bad." So I'm not surprised.
I mean, is it watchable at all?
We didn't think so.
I mean, he is completely uninteresting, completely boring.
This diabetic fight's kind of interesting about how huge he
got. The fact that he packed on all that weight, because he was a decent-looking guy, you know, when he was 23.
All right, yeah.
Now he's about 300 pounds. And that chick
is disgusting.
How could she be a model? She's
the
gross.
Stripper.
But she's a model of some renown, supposedly.
Her ass is twice the size of Kim's.
She's not only fat as fuck, she's gross.
Yeah,
she's
her face
ugly.
Is not pretty.
I mean, you've got basically two ugly people who have no connection to anything remotely successful. How can that be a TV show?
Well, she used to bang Tyga.
Oh, who now bangs the young Kardashian daughter?
Yeah, Kylie.
Wow, that's a trade up. What a trade up that is.
Yeah.
If I were Kylie, I'd say, wait, you used to screw her.
Oh, gross. Yeah.
I don't think so. All right, part two coming up. We'll see you in a few.